AL rallied in the game. NL has rallied in the swing.
Oh, with the hat trick. Look out, Chop House. National League takes the lead 4-3.
Unbelievable.
It really was unbelievable. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray and Jeproloff. Thank you to Fox for that sound. Pearl, your guy, Kyle Schwarber, ends up being the hero of the All-Star game because it went to swings. It went to a home run derby because the game was tied 6-6 after 9 innings.
Yeah, it almost made me disappointed for the first 140 years of baseball that they didn't have this. Because where has this been? The home run off. It was amazing.
I loved it. I'm like, let's just decide the World Series this way. No, I'm kidding. But it was like penalty kicks, you know, in a soccer match is basically what it is. And that, to me, I know purists hate it. But for the fans, it's so beyond exciting. And obviously, for real talk here, nobody wants to start throwing more pitchers out for an extra innings game, for an exhibition. The All-Star game doesn't even determine home field advantage in the World Series anymore. All of that is gone. It's just a true exhibition. So yeah, let's make this as fun and weird and funky as possible. And I actually thought baseball nailed it last night on multiple different levels. But the swing off at the end, the home run derby, was just dynamite.
Yeah, I mean, the MLB feels like they're having a bit of a moment. I think it's because they're embracing the home run.
They've done that before.
Yeah, I know, but I feel like they're doing it again. I don't know if they're actively embracing it, but they're. I saw a stat like there are more guys on pace for 60 homers than ever before at the All-Star break this year. Like they're bombs going away. The home run derby, the balls were going farther than ever. And last night, they're celebrating the home run. And then, you know, as a shallow baseball fan, I love it.
It was great. And I also saw that the home run derby TV ratings were up, I think, which just goes to show you the power of a fan of not just homers and Cal Raleigh, but a great nickname, which is going to become a bigger part of the show over the next couple of weeks. We'll have an announcement about that coming up soon. But the power of when you say marketing and when we kill Major League Baseball for not marketing their stars, I think this is the kind of stuff that happens. Like, you get someone fun and interesting, you mic them up, which they've done before, but I thought all the mic'd up segments went really well. I saw you even tweeted who Pete Crow Armstrong
lovely.
Is delightful.
Lovely. I'd adopt that guy. He's amazing. He's a kid, but
yeah,
he's 23, I think. He is so mature beyond his years.
Totally. And, you know, having Clayton Kershaw, again, they've done this before, but I think it was the right combination of they had the right people at the right moments. Clayton Kershaw, who I don't think anyone was actually clamoring for him to be in the All-Star game, is actually kind of awkward because they selected him as like a legends pick, air quotes, even though he hasn't said he's retiring or anything like that.
He's 37. That's not even that old.
Definitely a guy who could pitch into his 40s. But he was mic'd up and he's asking John Smoltz, what should I throw here? You know, I'm going to give him the cheese. And it was just, it was
an 89 mile per hour fastball. Yeah.
Well, he was clearly joking. He goes, Smoltz, what should I throw here? And he goes, throw a cutter. He goes, I don't even throw cutters. It was funny. It was definitely entertaining. And then the home run derby at the end, where it was three guys who got three swings, so it wasn't taxing on them, and it was entertaining and dramatic.
Yeah, actually, if you think about it, you know those highlights of the great All-Star game in Detroit in 1971. Have you ever seen that? Like Reggie Jackson and Hank Aaron and all these superstars. Feels like there's a little bit of that going on, and maybe I'm overstating this, because you got Shohei and Aaron Judge.
Yep.
I feel like you're
all
seeing
starts there.
Two historic players anchor this thing. So you might tune in just to see Aaron Judge, or you might tune in just to see Shohei, which I think is really cool. Now, that being said, baseball is not what it was in 1971. I think these are baby steps towards more relevance, but it was really cool. I don't know. I feel like they're doing everything right.
Yep. I think they're meeting the moment for sure. I know the Philly fans were ticked off that their guy didn't get in as a, you know, bullpen arm.
Yeah.
But look at all the publicity you got for Jake Mazeroski. And then, you know, you're right. It all starts with Judge and Shohei at the top. That's
right.
The box office. You can sell that. These two historic figures who are larger than life. And then I think the two aces also did a nice job with Skubal and with Skeens, especially Skeens, though, because Skeens is famous in a way that Tarek Skubal is maybe not yet.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't compare Skeens and Skubal to Shohei and Judge.
No, they're not.
Because pitchers, phenoms come and go. Like, we don't know that they're going to have the sustained success.
That's true, but yeah. Skeens is
he's
pretty
special.
Popular. And, you know, having the celebrity relationship with Livy Dunn, all that stuff just adds to it.
No, I think it's the homers. Honestly, we argue about this. Like, you love big pitching, and like I know everyone's into the fast fastballs, and that's really cool. But the sport, I think you could track, like, it gets more popular when people are hitting the ball a long way, and they certainly were last night.
It was a really impressive experience. And, you know,
back.
The thing about it is you need these things to kind of come together. It was reminding me a little bit, not to the extent, but the NHL with the Four Nations. That caught on in a very different way. That was, you know, an exhibition of a different type. But that caught on because it felt like the bad blood was so authentic, you know, and players were really, really representing their countries in a way that got everybody involved. There was like a geopolitical thing going on at the time that added to it. But it was unforeseen, and it was kind of like fantastic. Yeah. We were all talking about it. I think last night's All-Star game had a little bit of that. I think it was that good with the unexpected, for most people, twist at the end with the home run derby off to determine the winner.
Except if we're talking about popularity, NHL just completely tanked their ratings after that. Like, for whatever reason, that the Four Nations did not translate, and they had major problems getting eyeballs. I think it's partly because they moved to TNT, but whatever. Nobody watched the Stanley Cup final, so is that going to happen in baseball? I mean, if we're talking about the state of baseball, do you need you set the bar so high last year with the Yankees and Dodgers?
We need a rematch.
And do you need a Cal Raleigh, like a guy of the moment? Like, where does baseball last night? Undoubtedly a success, but where does it go from here?
Yeah, and how do you keep that momentum going? I mean, to me, I was thinking about it actually while the game was going on. If you could just have Judge and Shohei meet again in the World Series, I know I'm asking a lot here, and there's 28 other teams that are going to have a say in this, but if you could have those guys meet in the World Series again, and maybe the Yankees win it this time.
Oh, God, please.
Or at least don't have a fifth inning, like the memorable fifth inning.
God, no, please, no.
Manny's in a nightmare scenario. I think that you really start to build that cool rivalry.
I see. Yankees win it, just prove they can win it.
Yeah.
What if Cal Raleigh chases Aaron Judge's American League home run record? That would be
something. Too. Great. Yeah. You'd be breaking into baseball games on Saturdays and college baseball games like ESPN was doing with Aaron Judge?
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, I mean, since the steroid era, like, home run records probably don't mean quite as much as they used to. But, I mean, this guy, Cal Raleigh, like, look at his numbers for a catcher.
I know.
They're insane.
And that should be taken into account. I agree with Smoltz on this one. That should be taken into account when you're talking about MVP. If he can keep it up, the fact that he's a catcher and how taxing that is and how important it is as opposed to a DH, or any other position.
And he leads a very good pitching staff too, by the way.
Yeah.
Seattle's starting rotation is awesome.
What do you guys think? How does baseball keep this going? Are Perloff and I giving baseball too much credit here?
No, because I think they're doing a great job. I mean, I think Rob Manfred put some respect on his name.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of folks who have talked about him being the worst commissioner of all time, and he certainly has made his share of gaffes and dumb statements, but almost everything he has done has improved the status of the game. And last night was no different. I mean, if you go into a room of old curmudgeons and say we're going to do a swing-off, I'm sure 99% of them say that's a stupid idea and we don't do that in baseball. But guess what? They did it, and it was really exciting.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know someone was like, oh, you should have had the stars in it. Like, you know, we had stars, obviously. But, you know, where's Ohtani? Where's Judge? I don't think it needed that, to be honest. I think I wanted the guys that kind of were playing in the game to decide the game anyway, which is kind of what happened, except for Rooker and Alonso were in the lineup. So I thought it ended up being a really great night for baseball. I think the home run derby was great, as it usually is. They're doing really well. I mean, I think to ever put them in a status of trying to get back to football, that's never going to happen. But I think baseball is obviously going in the right direction.
Listen, Manfred has the Midas touch lately.
Definitely.
He's like a smug. He can be smug about it. His bedside manner is not great. He can take aim at people. It's just like the way he kind of approaches things sometimes can just be a little rough, but the changes are good. Yeah, man.
My only issue, and EJ just said it kind of in passing, but I mean, that's the biggest issue for me, but it's not really Rob Manfred's fault. It's Aaron Boone's fault. I mean, Jeff Passan said it, and I echo his statement. I mean, what is Brent Rooker, Jonathan Aranda, Randy Arozarena versus Pete Alonso, Kyle Schwarber, and Kyle Stowers? Could have been Shohei Ohtani, Aaron Judge, could have been Cal Raleigh, you know, Vladdy Guerrero, Kyle Schwarber, Pete Alonso. You could have had the real sluggers of the game, the people that pay that money to go watch them hit home runs. You didn't get that.
I know. I think
that's
those guys,
the only disappointing part to me.
I think that those guys were probably showered, changed. Were they even at the ballpark anymore?
Probably not.
Because when you start the game, yeah. And now this is 3.5 hours later for an exhibition, are you cold? You know, like Pete Alonso was in a batting cage.
Also, if I'm Aaron Judge, I mean, I only have, what, 2.5 days? I'm trying to go on vacation as well and enjoy the rest of my vacation with my wife and my child.
Well, I don't want to pull a muscle if I'm all cooled off now. Do I have to ramp back up? I know it sounds crazy. These guys are machines, but I don't know. Baseball's fluky like that.
Well, I read they put in the list before, and they know there has to be reserves because they know this. I don't think the managers, when they put in the list, actually thought it was going to come to this.
Well, of course not. It's never happened before.
Right, but they knew the starters would be gone, so they didn't put Shohei and Aaron Judge on the list. And they probably, I guess, what is Shohei going to turn around his private jet and come back for this thing? He's long gone. He's halfway across the country by then.
You compared it to a penalty shootout. Yeah. In penalty shootouts, you always have the best penalty takers, the best goal scorers in that situation.
Those guys were actually still on the pitch, right, at that point, if it's a tight game.
But that's in a meaningful game, too. In an all-star game, you know, Messi might... Well, I guess they don't really have all-star games in soccer, but... Yeah,
MLS does. They play against a team of like the Mexican League, and they play all-star games within each other.
So were you disappointed last night that the home run derby at the end of the game didn't actually feature the top of the starters, put it that way? Even though, I mean, Pete Alonso, pretty good. Kyle Schwarber, I mean, these guys are...
I mean, Brent Rooker should have advanced the all-star game the day before, the home run derby, rather, you know, but... Yeah. You know, the shenanigans with the measurements.
So one other very tangible thing that came out of this, we're talking about the home run derby, was a smashing success last night. I don't know about the TV rating. I'm sure we'll get it in a minute. But one other thing of note that's like real baseball is, did you guys notice the automated balls and strikes? Okay?
Oh, of course.
So this is the system where either the pitcher, the batter, or the catcher can challenge a ball or strike call. All they have to do is tap their helmet, and it goes to like a Hawkeye, like tennis. You get 2 per game. If you win the challenge, you keep the challenge, okay? If you lose it, you lose the challenge. There were 5 challenges last night by either a pitcher, a batter, or a catcher. They were all successful. It is terrible for the umpires, but it's great. These guys know that... They know. And so some major moments in the game were decided by these challenges. Pearl, 5 for 5, the players were successful.
So funny because ESPN's Tim Kirchen reported that players don't want this because they don't think they're going to be able to tell. But that being said, 5 for 5 in an all-star game does not mean that over the course of the second half of the season, like they would be that accurate. They might screw it up. Also, I think a lot of players don't want that pressure. It's an all-star game. It's pretty loose. Imagine it like a major game, and you have to decide when you're going to do the challenges.
I think they like the fact that they could be right. I mean, they argue balls and strikes.
Apparently, MLBPA, according to Kirchen, is not so into this.
Yeah, I think they're wrong. I mean, I don't understand why. I guess
maybe this will help. But.
I mean, and now it's going on in the minor leagues, obviously, so you're getting some exposure to it there. But, you know, this is the all-star game, so it's a reward for the umpires too. Like Dan Iasonia, he's kind of a household name if you follow baseball. He's supposed to be one of the best they got, and he missed 5.
And I thought, to me, from a viewer standpoint, I mean, 9th inning, I mean, Edwin Diaz gets a strikeout on one of those challenges, and that was dramatic.
Yeah, it was.
It was like, oh, this is, you know, for 2 outs here, like, this actually was a strike, and it was. And Randy Orton is like, oh my God, he's serious? And they're laughing. He's walking the dugout like, okay, I guess I'm struck out now. Like, I think that all makes the game more exciting.
I
think the ABS system was something that I expect to see next year.
Hey,
I think that was a big thing that worked out well last night.
If it's close, swing at it, Randy.
You don't have to tell Randy. He's got a nose for the moment.
I'm surprised he didn't swing, to be honest. That guy swings at everything.
So there you go. Just a couple takeaways. We got more of them from MLB's All-Star game last night. So the home run derby was a success. Ratings are up thanks to the big dumper. And secondly, the All-Star game was a success. Decided on a home run derby.
Yeah. More home run derbies. I like what you said. Let's do it in the World Series. Why not?
All of a sudden.
Embrace the home run. They've already embraced it, but.
Pretty soon they're going to be deciding the All-Star game on like a hot dog eating contest or something. How silly can we make this?
Yeah. I will say this. I know we talked a lot about Judge and Ohtani, and those guys are obviously rock stars, but I also felt just the entire week of, you know, from Monday to Tuesday, there are also just a lot of stars in Major League Baseball. Like, I feel like watching the game last night, I was like, man, the guys that were playing in the reserve part of the game, I'm watching Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And Fernando Tatis. I'm like, these are big names. These aren't nobodies that are playing in this game. Still, Schwarber's still in the game. I think there's a lot of talent around Major League Baseball. I think that the playoffs this year, I think, will be also really exciting. I think that watching Judge and Ohtani face these other stars around the league, I think, is going to create some great moments.
It seems like baseball's in a pretty healthy spot. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. So they have the stars, and they're letting us... They're showcasing them in a good way. And you got some fun, dramatic stuff last night. Only nitpick, you didn't have the biggest guys doing the home run derby, I guess. Coming up, this is not good. From some positive news to some negative stuff. And that is another All-Star game that's going to be happening this weekend who could be without a big, big star. What happened with Caitlin Clark last night? We've got an update for you next.
Back.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. We are celebrating Kyle Schwarber's All-Star Game MVP here. At least I am, as a Phillies fan. But you guys, a lot of Mets fans here celebrating Pete Alonso. But I have an issue, Maggie.
What's that?
WNBA officials, get a backbone. Kick out Caitlin Clark. I mean, that was an unattractive, that's not the right word. She had a tantrum on the officials that I thought was totally out of line last night. She's clearly frustrated. The Fever won, but Caitlin Clark is on this epic cold shooting streak, and then she just destroyed the poor officials last night. They were wrong, but Caitlin was right. But she was really furious.
Yeah, she does that sometimes, you know? And her dad, remember in college, used to kind of like calm her down a little bit from the stands.
Yeah, she's very competitive, which is good.
So burying the lead there, though, the headline is she got hurt again last night.
Yeah.
So in the final second of the game, Caitlin Clark is grabbing at her right groin. Now, it had been the left groin that had been the issue for her earlier this season. She missed 4 games with a left groin injury, 5 games with a left quad injury. So obviously two things are very close together. And now, not surprisingly, favoring the right side. And now she's grabbing at the right side. And it's a big deal, not just for Caitlin, because you're right, she's been on this awful cold streak. Here are her last 7 games from 3. 1-7, 2-7, 1-7, 2-5, 0-6, 1-10, 0-7. I mean, she's hurt. She's hurt, and it's obviously affecting her shot.
Yeah.
But they're supposed to play in New York tonight against the Liberty, so that's a marquee matchup. Yeah. And then the All-Star game is this weekend in Indiana, in her home turf. She's supposed to be competing in the 3-point contest against Sabrina Ionescu. This is a disaster.
The whole 3-point field is All-Star. I mean, it would be a great 3-point contest. I don't think she's going to do it now. I mean, first of all, she seemed like she was already a bit compromised, and now she was holding her groin last night. It does look like she's going to be out of that, which is such a bummer. I really want to see her and Ionescu just go head-to-head.
Well, and to be honest, like, I'm not saying the WNBA did anything wrong here. In fact, we had a interview with Christine Brennan last week, who's got a book out about Caitlin, who said maybe the WNBA could even promoted her even more than they did. But this is one of the downsides of when your league is kind of based on one person. And I know that's going to get me in a lot of trouble, but when you have one clear star, what happens when they're human beings and they get hurt? Like, if she's not playing in the All-Star game, if she's not competing in the 3-point competition, I think you're going to see it's all going to take a hit. Like, the ratings, I think that the interest, she gets so many casual fans to tune in. This is the dark side of that. This is the other side of the coin.
Does that happen?
One huge.
Give me
star.
Another example of somebody who's the face of a sport where if they're gone, the sport is going to have.
I think Tiger was like that.
Great example.
Yeah,
that's a perfect example.
But because I think the casual fan loved to tune in to root for him. I think we were all rooting for him at that point. Maybe people were rooting against him, but people wanted to see if he was going to make history. Same thing with Caitlin.
You know, I wonder if in the NBA, the fact that LeBron didn't do anything in the playoffs, that probably hurt ratings too, if you want to look at ratings. So, yeah, this is huge. You know, so it's Ionescu, Kelsey Plum, and Alicia Gray are also in this rehab. They're really...
Yeah, big stars.
They're big stars. So maybe they...
But none as big as Caitlin.
Yeah, maybe Caitlin raised the boat a little bit where it'll be up. But you're right. I know Christine Brennan pointed out the ratings did totally fall apart when she was out.
Not just her games, but the whole league.
Well, Caitlin, Caitlin will be there, I assume, at the All-Star break, even in street clothes. So, I don't know. I'm hopeful that this becomes something, but it is disappointing.
it just stinks for her. It stinks for her and for the WNBA. And I think what it underscores is sometimes these things don't just go exactly how we think. And sometimes year one doesn't automatically fold into year two, and you just keep going up and up and up. Like,
it's not
linear like that sometimes in real life.
I kind of felt like it seemed like it was going that way. She immediately adjusted to the WNBA. I know her shot is not as accurate as it was at Iowa, but, you know, all the assists, and even last night, all the assists, all the rebounds, the physicality, she seems to have made an incredible adjustment. We forgot about injury.
Well, because she had never missed a game before in her entire college career before, and or the WNBA, until this season. So, you know, again, I'm not saying the WNBA did anything wrong, and they're expanding now. We got the name yesterday for the Portland team, which is exciting, the Fire, and you're going to be in even more cities, Philadelphia, Toronto, all these other cities that the WNBA is expanding into. You just hope that it doesn't stall because Caitlin is hurt. Now, she's not going anywhere, and it's not like these are career-ending injuries. This isn't a Bo Jackson-style injury.
Oh, not at all.
But still.
Yeah, groins are annoying.
Yeah, they just linger.
That's almost the worst part. Like, will we see 100% Caitlin? You know, they have a winning record, so maybe she'll really get it all straight by the playoffs. That would be huge if the Fever could go on a little run. But I, you know what? You say it's sort of a problem. Like, is there anything the WNBA can do? Are they promoting the game wrong if it's too much on Caitlin? Because Christine said that they didn't understand that Caitlin was above all the other stars. So by your logic, shouldn't they be working harder to promote the other stars so they're not so dependent on Caitlin Clark?
Well, I think they do. I think they try, you know. I'm not killing the WNBA for this. I don't think that there's anything, this isn't their fault. And I do think they do try to promote the other stars. You know, you've got super teams, you've got major ad campaigns, like your draft is a big deal. You know, you're doing all the things that you need to do as a league. It's just, you know, you can't factor in for injury. EJ, you're our WNBA guy. What do you think about that? Is this a problem if Caitlin's going to be out for a while and missing the All-Star game?
I mean, it's sports, right? Like, I think of some of the stuff involving Caitlin Clark. Sometimes I think we think that we can kind of just predetermine outcomes or predetermine how things are going to go. Injuries are fortunately a part of sports.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was interesting. She got some heat for not playing the unrivaled league, the 3-on-3 offseason league. But part of that was because she wanted to rest her body.
Yep.
Because she had just played a whole college season. The rookies go through the worst kind of like rigorous basketball year of any player in any sport because they play a full college basketball season. And then a month later, they're playing now a full WNBA season. So they're playing basketball almost year long. So she took that time off and hopes to get her body right. I'm wondering if she's still feeling the effects of everything that happened last season. Because when you go through not just the physical stress, but also the mental and emotional stress as well, that came with a lot that happened last season, that carries and that can affect your body in ways that you don't expect.
Well,
and I'm wondering if this is something she's dealing with now with these injuries.
Residual. I mean, she also put on a lot of muscle in the offseason because, remember, it was the league's so physical.
Yeah.
She's got to bulk up a little bit. So.
By the way, I mean, all that's true. I mean, Cooper Flagg just went deep in the tournament. He's about to play an 82-game season, a 44-game season. And he'll probably wear down, too.
I think the football players have it tough also.
Yeah.
Like if you're someone now who's playing in the college football playoff until January, and then you're right into draft prep, and the combine's in the middle of February, if you actually work out at that, then you're pro day, then you're into the draft, then rookie camp. I mean,
yeah, but their bodies recover so fast at that age. That's a superpower at 21, 22.
Too. Yeah. But think about a women's college basketball player. Your season is for Caitlin in April. You're playing in the Final Four, and then WNBA season starts in May. There is no time off. You're right to playing professional games. Now you're playing against bigger, more physical, better basketball players. So that first year is always really tough. And I'm wondering that's part of the reasons why she's dealing with some of these injuries.
Let's get to CeeLo, who's in today for Andrew Bogish. What's going on, CeeLo?
Good morning. Sponsored by Progressive Commercial Insurance. Protect small businesses with affordable coverage options. Quote today at progressivecommercial.com. First ever MLB All-Star Game swing off last night in Atlanta. Three swingers from each side, three swings apiece.
And three swingers.
Wow.
Whoa. Baseball.
Three swingers for each league. That's how they rolled last night in Atlanta.
Put your keys in the bowl.
That's right. Get those Adirondack chairs out there.
Can you explain that reference to younger people, Maggie?
Well, I mean, someone had to explain it to me once upon a time.
Keys in your bowl.
That's like a 70s thing, right?
Yeah, like
the Adirondack chair is a little bit more modern.
Red Adirondack chairs.
Is it red? Okay.
No. I actually share it. It's a red mailbox. And Denver is the American capital of swinging, is what I was told inaccurately.
How do you guys know this?
Perloff, quick to say, because that's what I was told.
I was in Denver, and a friend said, if you have a red mailbox, you're ready to go.
Tell everyone who the friend was.
It was a evangelical Christian named Case Keenum. He's like, I heard this thing. Like, he could not be less into that. But, and also, so keep in mind, the information could have been completely inaccurate.
Colorado Rockies, by the way, worst baseball team, best at swing-offs.
Yeah. There you go.
It'd be funny if Case was messing with you, but I kind of believe it. I feel like, you know, why not Denver be the swinging capital of the world?
But why Denver? I have no idea why. I would think maybe
Everyone's
Las
fit.
Vegas?
Maybe that's why the Rockies stink. They're too busy on extracurricular activities.
I'm going to Google what city has the most swingers, and I hope this is going on my permanent record that I made this Google search. Wow. I'm not moving there.
Don't do that on the company Wi-Fi.
I did not know we were heading in this direction right off the top. I blame myself. Well, three swingers on each side.
Chris Lopresti's in here for 30 seconds. Yeah. We're already derailed.
Mixing it up.
It's New the York's, red Adirondack yeah, chairs, and then the yeah, upside down pineapple, I think, was the other right, yep, infamous
that one. It lists the usual New York City, Los Angeles, Las Vegas. Then it says San Antonio, and here's why. Ranked highly in a study by the 3Fun app.
Whoa.
3Fun app, which focuses on open-minded couples.
All right, then.
When bus jama?
Imagine if you find that on your husband or wife's phone, like
the 3Fun app.
Did you have something you wanted to discuss app with me?
Got some big plans for us this weekend that I was not aware of. Anyway, the American League, minus Aaron Judge at that stage, had the lead in the swing off until Kyle Schwarber stepped to the plate and flipped the script.
AL rallied in the game. NL has rallied in the swing off. Oh. National League takes the lead 4-3.
That's Joe Davis on Fox. Schwarber went 3-for-3, lifting the NL to the swing-off victory after the AL had rallied to tie the game at 6 in the ninth. Schwarber named MVP for his efforts, capitalizing on the new tiebreaker format.
Yeah, it was awesome. The guys were really into it, and they were yelling, screaming, cheering me on every swing, and then going that last one goes over, they were all pumped. It was a lot of fun.
They set off a little celebration for the National League on their side of the field. I would say Pete Alonso of the Mets kind of robbed of the MVP maybe twice because he had the big home run in the game to stake the National League to a large lead. Obviously, they blow the lead, and then he's next up in the swing off. He never even had to swing.
Yeah, better off.
He probably would have won it had it come down to him.
Better off for Mets fans that he didn't have to go out there, I think. But I was actually thinking about this. If you're mostly Atlanta Braves fans in the audience, and the two big winners last night, yeah. I mean, Matt Olson had a nice had a great play at first base also. Yeah. But basically, the two heroes of the game, the two biggest stars, are two of your biggest rivals.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, well. Among the entertainment features you don't normally get in a regular MLB game, Clayton Kershaw mic'd up with Fox during his inning of work, or two-thirds as it turned out. John Smoltz to Kershaw as he faced Cal Raleigh.
Clayton, I can't believe you're doing this, Clayton.
I don't can't either. I'm going to try to throw some cheese real quick. Hold on.
Cal Raleigh hooks it in the air to left field. And a sliding catch by
That was sick.
Easy.
That was sick.
I love the yelp as he delivers the pitch. Yeah. Give it everything you got, and it gets laced to left, but Kyle Tucker is there to save his bacon.
Let me throw this cheese real quick.
Yeah, Clayton feels like he should be in the booth next to John Smoltz. He doesn't feel like he should be on the mound.
Maybe soon.
Is baseball trying to send a message when they're like, hey, we're going to make you a legend.
Yeah,
the standing ovation. Yeah. Like, hey, exit stage left. I don't know why they want Clayton Kershaw out of the game so
now
bad.
Do you understand why people don't want to be called legends?
Yeah, I guess so.
Maggie will have guests on. He's like, you're a legend of the game, implying like a legend feels past tense, right?
But when you do that, is it someone that's active?
I've said it about a couple media people. This is what Perloff's talking about.
Oh, yeah, you definitely have done this on air.
Forgive me if I want to put the proper respect on people's names.
I've told her not to like 10 times. It's one thing she doesn't listen to me on.
I've also called people icons. They don't generally love that either.
No, nobody wants to feel like they're a statue, you know? Like, once you're being honored, it's like it's all done.
How about one of the greats? Can we go with that? Does that work?
How about... I don't know.
Well, how do you address? How do you show
up and coming superstar?
Yes. Would you like me to address somebody who's been covering their team for 25 years? Is what Cub reporter?
Yeah.
New on the beat.
Wet behind the ears.
Yeah.
No. Amateur.
Yeah. But, yes, you know that this person has been covering the NFL since they wore leather helmets. That is not what football people want to hear.
Oh, man.
This person actually was there when Ty Cobb got his last hit. No, of course not, Maggie.
I'm sorry, was that? That's my bad.
Yeah.
Well, Kershaw, with all that grunting, did leave the field of a standing ovation, capping his, we'll call it, special all-star selection by Commissioner Rob Manfred. Same for former Brave Freddie Freeman. He was feeling the love from the Atlanta fans. And MLB also honored late Hall of Famer Hank Aaron by recreating his record-breaking 715th home run through the use of projection mapping and pyrotechnics.
That was cool.
That was after the sixth inning. Lights went dark at Truist Park, and the scene from April 8, 1974 projected onto the infield, shown on the video board, and then the blaze of a fireball launched from home plate to signify the home run that sent Aaron past Babe Ruth at the time. His widow, Billy, stood and waved to the sellout crowd of nearly 42,000. Certainly a cool moment there. Nicely done.
Sick.
By MLB. It was sick. Another day, another contract extension handed out by the Jets. First, it was wideout Garrett Wilson. Now corner Sauce Gardner gets a four-year extension worth just over $120 million. Over 70% of that is guaranteed, as the former first-round pick becomes the league's highest-paid corner, at least right for the second, at $30.1 million per year.
So EJ is celebrating over there, a Jets fan. I thought everyone was down on Sauce Gardner. Where PFF, the Pro Football Focus, the grades are down on Sauce Gardner. I thought Sauce was on a downswing after last season. But now everyone seems thrilled that he signed the extension.
Do you understand how rare it is for the Jets to actually sign their own draft picks to second contracts?
But just giving him money doesn't mean that he's good. I mean, I'm just saying, like, if he was disappointing last year, then he was still disappointing.
A lot of things about the Jets last year were disappointing.
I think Aaron Glenn now, defensive head coach, think you want to resurrect, you know, try to see if you can resurrect Sauce Gardner.
And it wasn't like Sauce was a terrible. He was down from what he had been, which has been an all-pro corner. He was the best corner arguably in the NFL. Down, yeah, for sure. But he's still a young player. To me, it's like the Jets have never been able to build with a young core of talented players. So to see Sauce and to see Garrett Wilson and Quinnen Williams signed a couple years ago, all right, these are three guys. I mean, there's not a lot, but it's something. Something to be excited about. Yeah. Like, I just, especially because you're not paying the quarterback anything.
I was going to say, this is what happens when you keep missing on your first round draft. Yeah, you got all this money to throw around. Although Wilson and Sauce were. But
when, you're missing your first round quarterback. Yeah, this is what happens.
Your roster becomes kind of flexible.
Yeah, I just didn't feel like I was getting that kind of energy about Sauce Gardner last fall.
No, people were mad about him, not tackling, and he was getting ripped.
Well, they got Aaron Glenn there to keep him in check now, so we'll see what happens, you know?
Not it basically made Robert Saleh out to be like the guy babysitting everybody.
Saleh and then Jeff Ulbrich, which was an unmitigated disaster. So
I think
we'll see.
Bum.
See how they do now. I mean, they've had some nice drafts. You had Sauce, Garrett Wilson, Jermaine Johnson, Breece Hall. I mean, quarterback,
Joe Douglas. Joe Douglas did some good things.
Some things,
guy, he's a former Eagle assistant.
Now current Eagle.
Yeah. Right. Did you see also that Zach Wilson, who was his big miss, got married over the weekend in New York?
I was surprised it was in New York.
Shocked it was in New York. She must be from here.
I believe she's from New Jersey. My nephew was telling me he saw them out at a bar like within the last week or two.
Interesting.
And I guess she's a Jersey gal.
I think they got married at St. Patrick's Cathedral. We were talking about, it looked like that. We were talking about tourist attractions yesterday and the most overrated tourist attractions. St. Patrick's Cathedral, definitely not overrated. Very, very cool.
You can get married there?
We know one thing. I guess Cardinal Dolan, not a Jets fan. Because if I was running St. Patrick's Cathedral, no way in hell you're getting married with the screwing my team.
It's a funny way to put it that a Cardinal would be like, there's no chance in hell. It's like, and I know about hell.
That is my big bet this year. I'm not betting on it, but nothing would make me happier. Even maybe more than Eagles repeating the Super Bowl, to see Zach Wilson tear it up as a backup in Miami and laugh at Jets fans would be one of the most enjoyable things that ever happened to me.
Good thing
because you know
reality.
You know what happens when you leave the Jets.
You become good.
Yeah. You become good.
Eventually. Usually it takes a little longer than it's been for Zach Wilson.
Like Geno Smith.
Sam Darnold had to go to multiple teams before he hit it big with the Vikings.
Well, I think Sam Darnold's got a cannon. I mean, he's got an arm.
So does Zach Wilson. That was why they drafted him.
Yeah, the problem is with both of those guys is that when the Jets, those passes are going into the fourth row of the stands.
Yeah.
Into the opponent's hands.
Well, that too.
Yeah.
Wait, that's not what you want?
No.
They throw his
Zach Wilson, 30-yard bomb, looks great. 5-yard out route? No. Nope.
It's what the Giants have been doing for the past decade as well.
That's why Eli Manning was like that. He threw a lot of air under the ball, so somebody was going to catch it, either the cornerback or the wide receiver on every single pass.
And you know what? Two receivers caught it in, key times in the Super Bowl, and that's all that matters.
That's right.
Congrats to Zach Wilson. I have no fear about him succeeding anywhere else.
Did you have fear about Sam Darnold?
A little more than Zach Wilson, for sure.
How about Geno?
No fear for Geno either. That was surprising. But Zach Wilson, I think I don't think he has the aptitude to be an NFL starter. I don't.
Which would torture you more, EJ, as a Jets fan? Aaron Rodgers killing it this year or Zach Wilson having a resurrection?
Oh, Aaron. That's a mean question to ask.
No.
Par for the course for a Jets fan.
I take that back. I say Zach. Zach be worse.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because Aaron, I don't want him leading my team. I don't care what he does anywhere else. Zach, I would have wanted to work out, and it didn't. So if he worked out somewhere else, yeah, that would suck. I just don't think it's going to happen. I'm not worried about it at all.
Such a fear that the guy you let go, like watching Crow Armstrong become a star for a certain fan base in New York is really hard to watch. You know, someone goes somewhere else, and then the guy who was involved in the trade, the centerpiece, not even on the team.
Or it's like your ex-girlfriend or ex.
Yeah, as an outfielder.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's like your ex-girlfriend or ex-boyfriend really succeeding after you break up with them. That's not good. I don't know if...
You always got to win the breakup.
Yeah, you got to win the breakup. Like, you check them out on Facebook. I hope this person is struggling. Just not terribly, like mildly.
Yeah, what do you want to see? Like, them leaving some kind of rehab facility? I mean, how dark is this going to get?
Did you check MySpace before that? Facebook?
No, Perloff's right. Yeah, if I see my ex, you delete the photos of the other guy.
Did I just get old shame for saying Facebook? Yeah, give me a break, Manny. Yeah. Facebook, yes. Okay, I'm on Facebook. You got me.
On their AIM away message. Does Manny even know what that means?
Facebook. Gotta put music lyrics up there.
Huge on the AIM. I still have the @aim.com.
Wow.
I don't have access to it, but it's around.
@aim. I saw my email as a Hotmail address.
Damn,
I refuse to change it.
Wow.
I have a Hotmail address from a long time ago that it's a great way for scammers to get, if they ever get a hold of that address, they look for old Hotmail accounts to steal your identity.
I do update my password regularly, so if they're trying to, you know, hop in on mine, probably not going to happen, but that's where I go.
Yeah, you guys, Matt, you never had a Hotmail. I'd known you.
I did have a Hotmail.
Oh, you did have a Hotmail?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a person who lived through the early 2000s.
Wait, is anyone else? Am I the only one here who ever goes to Facebook?
I go to Facebook.
Yeah, I do.
We get a lot of great comments from our listeners on Facebook.
Yeah,
we love it.
Manny. Come on, man.
Well, Facebook is desperate because they send notifications to my phone that aren't notifications, which is annoying. It's the only reason why I click on it. Because I'm one of those people where I can have I have no problem having 50,000 emails, but I can't have notifications on my phone.
Yeah,
it has
I
to
know
be
that.
At zero.
Yeah.
So I get a notification. I'm like, what is this? Oh, Facebook. This is weird. Okay, what is it? And it's like, here's a memory from 7 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't care about that.
I know.
Like, why are you sending me this as a push
notification? You just clicked on it, though.
No. I know, but it works. That's what keeps them active, I think.
And you clear the notification or the little, you know, the number, the red number in the top right corner of the app. And then, like, 5 seconds later, there's another one.
Back.
It's the constant. You can't clear it.
Guys,
and keep it that long.
You think Zuckerberg's sitting on this pile of money because he doesn't know that you have to click on that? Give him a little bit more credit. You know, two bosses ago, we've got full range to haze anybody who works on this show. And I kind of want to make it mandatory for Manny only to use Facebook for the next week or something.
Yeah, right.
Like, you have to deactivate your Instagram, Twitter. You can only be a Facebook person for a week.
What is this, 2011? Get out of here, man.
2000, I mean, that's not that long ago.
You just talked about the Giants winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that one was like, 2011. People were using flip phones. Like, what? 2011? Like, iPhones were big by
Out the Sidekick. Are you kidding me?
LeBron finished his first year with the Heat in 2011.
You want to feel old?
The Giants won the Super Bowl that year, right?
Yeah.
Giants
have sucked since then.
I mean, you think this is the Stone Ages, 2018? Jeez. What is happening here?
Ready for this? Yeah. Wedding Crashers just turned 20 this week. How about that?
Oh,
that's a bad one.
That was like taking a bullet. Thanks, CeeLo.
Yeah.
Chris Lopresti with us all morning long. We've got a lot to do, including more from MLB's All-Star Game last night and Arch Manning meeting the media yesterday. What Arch have to say about the upcoming season? So much to do. It's MLB.
Arch Manning.
Universal praise right now for MLB All-Star Game last night. It went to a swing-off. Let's go to Rick, who's in Myrtle Beach. Rick, you were at the game last night?
Hey, good morning. Yes, actually, I live in Myrtle Beach, but my company sends me to Augusta, for work. So I was at work, and I'm like, So I called my wife and got permission, my permission slip signed. And of course, I didn't tell her how much the ticket was. But
details.
Yes. So yeah. I drove to the game last night. It was amazing. The vibe, the people. Thank God it was $17 beer night. But
you hit them on the right night. Those are domestics too.
But the people that were there were unbelievably. Everyone, every team represented. Now I'll be honest with you. I've been to Atlanta many times. Every time that I'm devout Cubs fan because I'm originally from Chicago. Every September I'm going back. Cubs will be in Atlanta. I always catch when they're in town, and there was Braves fans everywhere. However, come every other game, Braves fans never show up. Mm. It's a shame because it's a beautiful ballpark. Even in the past, when playoff time, we've played the Braves many times in the playoffs over the years, and it's cheaper for my buddy to fly into Myrtle Beach. We drive to Atlanta, see a game or two, and then drive back. Cheaper than going to Wrigley, you know, when they're back in Chicago. No one shows up. We can go to the day of the game and buy tickets at the box office, and it's just a shame that
Sorry, from last night though. So give us like when the extra innings came and they were going to the home run derby style ending. Did anyone in the stands have any idea what was going on? Was there confusion? They did a pretty good job explaining it, right?
No, they didn't. No, you had no idea what was going on. No idea. But I tell you what, the place was still packed, and it was amazing. I mean, the way that MLB did it, the opening ceremonies was incredible. Everything was well done.
Yeah, it seemed like first class.
It was worth the price of admission by far.
Well, last one for you, Rick, who was at the game last night, who's calling us, lives in Myrtle Beach, but went to the game in Atlanta last night. When they were doing the automated balls and strikes for the first time, where the pitcher, the catcher, or the batter can challenge a ball or strike call, you just tap your helmet. Did that go fast in the stadium too? Did you know what was happening there? Or was it confusing?
I tell you what, I probably 4 out of the 5 times I reached down to grab my beer, take a sip, and it was already over.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, good.
Good.
Wait, I have one more question. What sport do people in Atlanta like? I've always been trying to figure this out. Like, they definitely, they're
Georgia
not into the
football.
Falcons, they're not into the Hawks, they're not into the Braves. Georgia football, right?
Yeah, Georgia Bulldogs.
But even, Georgia?
I've been to the Falcons-Bears games in the past, too. And, in fact, Perloff, I called you here a little bit back. I'm the one going to the Bears-Philly game with my wife here coming up, and you said don't wear my Bears stuff, which
definitely
I'm not going to.
Now. Yeah, yeah.
No.
I've
been to the Bears Falcons games in the past. Even with my son was only 5 years old at the time. This was several 10 years ago. Packed. Everyone great. I mean,
okay.
But other than that, I'll be honest. I really didn't say. But hey, I really love your show. You guys have a great day.
Thanks,
Thank
Rick.
You.
Drive safely too.
I think the Atlanta sports fans go to Thrashers games.
Well, I'm wondering.
Soccer, they love.
Yeah, they do. Oh man, do they.
I mean, we're watching this quarterback Netflix show. Quarterback Kirk Cousins is raving about the Falcons crowd, which I think eventually turns on him
at
some point. But I haven't gotten to that point yet.
I feel like they had a brief moment of glory with Michael Vick, and then I've always felt the fan base seems kind of tepid there.
Are we overthinking it? Are they just a golf crowd? I mean, Augusta's 2 hours away.
No.
It's a
Atlanta?
Crown jewel franchise.
No. The city of Atlanta.
Maybe the suburbs. I don't know.
No. The city of Atlanta just has a lot going on, too.
Yeah,
it's like LA. Like, there's just so much social life, too. I think that's part of the problem as well.
Well,
definitely. I think that's a great point. I think it is like LA. Yeah. I didn't even think of it like that. Like, it's because
you
so much
fun
nightlife.
Place to live.
Yeah.
Ask James Harden.
He's a big Atlanta guy.
Do believe that he frequents one establishment in
also,
the city of Atlanta.
Like Drake said, Houston, Atlanta, Vegas.
I think Atlanta has a lot of transplants as well. So, and that's why when we did our Mount Olympus, great sports cities, like I think New York and LA have a lot of transplants as well. I think you guys don't know what it's like to grow up in a sports town like Philly.
Yeah, sure. Think that James Harden can find a strip club anywhere in these here United States?
And other lands as well.
I don't think you can find one in Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
I bet he will.
You don't got Magic City Wings in Wisconsin.
You're just not looking at the right places, and I bet James Harden is. Coming up, Arch Manning, meet in the media.